The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Hey guys, you're listening to Sci-Fi Wire's Days of Marvel podcast. On today's episode, it's day 4 of our 8 days of Spider-Man countdown, and we're talking about The Amazing Spider-Man. Stay tuned! Hey everyone, and welcome to Sci-Fi Wire's Days of Marvel podcast. I'm your host today, Morgan Johnson. On this podcast, we are counting down to the release of Spider-Man Far From Home by swinging through all the Spider-Man movies, including all the Spider-Man appearances in the MCU, one day at a time. Each day, we tackle different movie, re-explore the plot, call out our favorite moments, and discuss the movie's place in the ever-expanding Spider-Verse. So let's swing right in. Today, I'm joined by my favorite content creators at Sci-Fi Wire.
That's what we do.
Well, love these guys, Jackie you. Jennings and Max Tadaldi.
Hey, yo.
Hello. Oh.
So glad to be here.
Me too.
And talking Spider-Man.
I'm excited.
Oh, yay.
I'm excited to talk about this movie.
We aim to please here.
Yeah.
This is a hot one, too.
It's in so many ways.
It's amazing.
It's a very sexy little Spider-Man.
before we get too raunchy with the sexy little Spider-Man, I'm going to intro Warvis. If you guys are familiar with our 22 Days of Marvel original airing of this podcast, we had Warvis kind of come in and help us where our research was lacking. Sometimes we call him Janky Jarvis. Always. He does not like it.
He really doesn't take kindly.
And he's going to kind of give us a last time on recap of where we are with Spidey. Take it away.
Hi, team. Thanks for having me. 2012's The Amazing Spider-Man is a complete reboot of the Spider-Man franchise following 2007's Spider-Man 3. Thus, it is an origin story, and there is no preamble.
Yeah, so this is, you know, I'm going to steal a line from Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. Let's do this one more time. Another origin story of Spider-Man, this time starring the lanky and awkward Andrew Garfield as Spidey. I can't remember at the time. Can you guys remember, like, what were the thoughts about him being cast in this role? Very different casting than Tobey Maguire.
Very different.
Very different. I mean, still just as old. He was 30. Like, I'm pretty
sure. Really
30? He was almost 30 when
good.
He was supposed to be playing a 17-year-old.
Yeah. I don't remember what his career was before this. I remember thinking, oh, he's like a good actor.
Good. Yeah, he's good.
Yeah.
I remember this being around the time when Henry Cavill was announced as Superman, and then Garfield announced as Spider-Man. It was like, the Brits are just taking over all of our superheroes.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
No Americans.
Rude.
It's very rude.
It's super rude.
But British invasion.
I mean, they're both great.
U.S.A.
They're
both
great. Let's chant it out, guys. Yeah. Okay, on a previous podcast, we kind of talked about Sam Raimi leaving his mark in terms of like his horror-esque on his trilogy. And I feel like right off the bat, this movie starts and I'm immediately like, oh, this is a spy covert operation drama right here.
Yeah.
There's secret folders and like there's a lot more kind of buildup around his parents and like why they left. That's a much, I feel like, bigger part of this reboot of the story.
Well, it felt like they were trying to portray his parents as agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yes.
And which I believe was an arc in the comics, if I'm not mistaken. But Warvis might have more information on that.
While it is never explicitly stated that Richard and Mary Parker are agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., it is alluded to that they are involved in some sort of covert activity. In the comic books, Captain Richard Parker was a decorated soldier of the United States Army Special Forces and was recruited by Nick Fury to the CIA. His wife, Mary Fitzpatrick, was the daughter of OSS agent Wild Will Fitzpatrick, and she was involved in the CIA as well.
Yeah, anyway, that sounds right.
Thanks, Warvis. Awesome.
Always stepping in where our research is lacking.
See, I got from this movie Garden State. I was like,
oh yeah,
somebody loves gardens. And I think it's just because when the Shins, I watched it with subtitles on, and it was like the Shins start playing at some point. I was like, Oh, okay.
Wait, there's also
Coldplay.
Coldplay when he's doing his like parkour session.
And Mark Webb comes from a pedigree of a lot of music video directing. And 500 Days of Summer is basically like the Garden State of, I don't know, 5 years later.
Yes.
Or something like that. It's a, it's a late 2000s version of Garden State.
Yeah.
It's super hip.
And Spy Meets like Garden State, in theory.
I'm not mad at
it. Yeah, I don't hate it.
So. I chuckle every time I think that a man named Mark Webb directed this movie.
It's
how perfect.
It's so perfect.
I chuckle every time.
Yeah.
So basically, yes, the movie starts and it's young Peter Parker, and we kind of get this espionage plot that his parents have been working on this super secret research involving
secrets.
Involving secrets. And it looks as if someone has broken into their lab to try to find their scientific research. They are worried about their own and Peter's safety. So they pack up all of their stuff, take him to live with Uncle Ben and Aunt May. After a tearful goodbye, we fast forward and Peter is in high school, and we kind of get everything we need to know about his character in this brief kind of like 5 to 10 minutes of him, you know, putting up photos in high school that he took as like head photographer for the high school.
He's a moody teen.
Yeah.
He's a super moody teen.
Very moody.
Kids are picking on him. He's got a bully. I have a theory about Flash.
Like the bulliest of bullies.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's like a comical bully who turns out to actually then be like, God, the bullying, I was just joking. I'm like, what?
It totally came out of nowhere. And I love character reversals like that where it's like, you turned a leaf off screen.
Yeah.
When did that happen?
Why are you
awesome.
Nice now?
I love nice
That's
Flash.
What I'm saying. My theory about this movie, it's really about Eugene slash Flash and his story arc, because if you think about it, he's the character that does the most growth.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
He changes.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Watching this first 10 minutes, I had to Google when this was made, because at least I think 2 to 3 times people are like, you have a camera? I'm like, we were on the iPhone 4. Like, this was 2011. All these kids have cameras at their disposal.
You have a camera?
Yeah. Also, he would have had a DSLR. Not that, like, that's, Peter Parker would have.
So true.
He would have been, like, shooting sketches and whatever. I don't know. Yeah. I was struck by how many people were like, can you take pictures for me? Can you take pictures? It's like, you can take pictures of your boyfriend's car.
Also, yeah, like, I want to take pictures of his car because is he trying to sell it? Or does she want to get it framed because he's obsessed with his
car?
It really makes me want to get a view into the writer's room for this movie and be like, wait a second, we've been writing this script like people don't have camera phones, but people do have that. Backtrack.
Yeah.
People have phones, we'll share them. Or
They get into some texting later.
Yeah.
He has a text. Phone.
That's right.
Wait, and I'm pretty sure when we see Flash making that kid like eat the food, and people are standing around filming it with their phones.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure.
Like, take a picture, Parker. And it's like, I guess he's just bullying how much he likes photography.
To take pictures? All righty. So we are introduced to Peter as photographer, loving, awkward, stumbling, skateboarding.
Mm-hmm.
New attribute for Spider-Man.
Yes.
This is something they pointedly decided to take a hard left from the original trilogy. Mm-hmm. And we get, you know, hipster Spider-Man.
Parker?
Yes, sir.
You want to keep that skateboard?
Yeah.
Keep it off the ground.
Spider-Man from the comic books was always like a little scotch of snark, but he was always fun and goofy. And now I look at it and you look at Tom Holland and you're like, who else could possibly play Spider-Man?
Who? Yeah.
Because he's just so perfect. And he nails that tone where it's earnest, but then he's still willing to make fun of people. But Tobey Maguire was kind of a doofus.
Yeah.
And looking at Andrew Garfield, like, he definitely brought a more teenage sensibility to that role, which was really necessary, because Tobey Maguire was like, I don't know, like late 20s when he started playing Spider-Man.
And he looked, Andrew Garfield, I think just maybe because it's the floppy hair, he's like, he's a little gangly. He passes for a teenager better than Tobey Maguire. I don't know. I like the idea of hipster Spider-Man. I would have been like, go even further. Like, push
it. Go hard.
Go hard.
Give him a handlebar mustache.
Make him like a real teen hipster, you know?
PBR, flannel. Go
Why
all
not?
In, all in.
And have part of his journey people being like, be a person. Like, stop with all of the accoutrement of your whatever. I love hipster Spider-Man.
Jackie is here for Hipster Spider-Man.
Wait a minute. I love Hipster Spider-Man.
Hold on a second. I love Hipster Spider-Man.
Gwen Stacy also loves Hipster Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. We are introduced mm-hmm. to her shortly thereafter in this kind of high school establishing scene. And she, you know, stands up for the little guy, calls out the bully. Mm-hmm. They have a very awkward interaction in the classroom where she's like, I know your name, but do you know your name?
Just one awkward interaction.
The first of many awkward interactions.
I just want to know if you know your name.
Peter Parker.
It's like, do you know your name? Do you know who you are? Is this entire movie about to be you going through an identity crisis and I'm setting it up right now?
Oh, my God.
They say that she is a senior, right? And presumably he is not a senior. I don't know whether, like...
Did they say she's... No, they did.
I feel like she is because she's head intern at Oscorp.
She's a full scientist.
So I think she... I think she says, I'm a senior at Midtown High when she's giving her introduction to the other interns.
Yeah.
And Peter's definitely not a senior. And, like, I'm not ageist or anything, but, like...
That's a big deal.
In what high school universe is, like, a senior girl pining for a younger dude?
Look, maybe it's not fair to compare Spideys, but like Tom Holland.
Oh, no, that's what we're here for.
We have to, right?
That's what we're here for.
Yeah. Like, he's obviously a cool and charismatic, whatever.
You mean Dreamboat Tom Holland?
He's a Dreamboat. Ugh. We all saw the lip sync battle. We love Tom Holland. It's so good. But like, I buy him as someone because he's so childish that you'd be like, oh, yeah, you're 15.
Yeah.
Andrew Garfield is like, in no world is this man not
man.
Someone that other girls in high school are like, damn, did you notice what happened to Peter over the summer? Like that? No.
He's hunky. And and that was the thing where
and
it's
he's like cool.
In the opening scenes where it's like, oh, like poor Peter Parker. Like, no, dude is having no problem with anyone in high school.
No.
And
I think he's doing great.
One of the things, like when I watched rewatched this movie, I had like a lot of just issues with Gwen and Peter's relationship. It's just so awkward. And then the more that I let it kind of marinate, it's just there are so many interactions in film where like you have to like earn the affection of your crush, right? Where you have to, you know, you have an amazing game on the basketball court and all of a sudden your crush notices you. And that's just like not how things work in real life. Like Gwen just has a crush on him from the beginning. He does nothing to earn that crush.
Yeah.
And it's just like she digs him.
She's into him.
She's just like
kind of great.
She's been bitten.
Ooh.
Yes.
One of the best lines of the film, by the way. Ugh. You've been bit by what? Like the love bug? Is that the thing?
Yeah, I think so.
I also do really enjoy, I enjoy Emma Stone in just about anything.
Mm. Her eyes are so large.
Yes.
They're disturbing sometimes.
She has Disney princess eyes.
Yes. 100%.
They are large.
Yes, she does.
It's almost like she's got to keep them squinted or otherwise the wattage is going to be too high.
Yeah.
She's going to burn out some bulbs.
I also do feel like as the movie goes on, they were like, can we not put her in a power suit? Like she became less of an adult. Like in that first scene where she's sitting on the picnic table, I was like,
reading
is she
Kurt
supposed
Vonnegut?
To be? She's reading Vonnegut.
In business casual.
Yeah, in like a pantsuit. Yeah. Well, it's a skirt, but it's like a power
it's not that cute.
Outfit. Yeah.
She's head intern. She has to keep up appearances.
I love her.
So then we've seen Peter in high school in his high school setting, and then now we are seeing Peter in his home setting, and we get introduced to the dynamic between him and Uncle Ben and Aunt May. There's a whole, this is not the meatloaf interaction, but that is a solid point. But this is when they are trying to fix a burst pipe in the basement. Mm-hmm. And that is how Peter finds his dad's old briefcase that has been kind of like tucked away in the basement. He asks Uncle Ben about it and he's like, oh, he told us to hold on to it. Tries to play it off.
Yeah.
Inquisitive Peter Parker finds a hidden compartment.
He's sleuthing.
Very good sleuthing. Mm-hmm. Also, I like his little mechanism that he has on his door to keep it locked when he like decides to go like
full. That's every kid's dream.
Yeah, I feel like this Peter is very. They play up the science, smart, tactical aspect as opposed to Tobey Maguire. Like he's very much very very smart. That's like his thing.
Well, I like too that it feels like, and again, this is where I wish they'd gone further with like hipster slacker. They do it in this way where it's like it doesn't seem like anybody knows that he's smart. Like Gwen Stacy, he's using it in these like vaguely, I don't want to say dirtbag, but like for like locks and snooping and that kind of thing, as opposed to being good at school, which I think is fun. Like make him a little bit of a, you know, I don't know, like a teenage dirtbag. by Weedus.
Like, I think he is good at school, but you're right. He doesn't flaunt it.
Number two.
Yeah, she says but he's number two in his class.
I don't know, but like she's so aggressive about how intelligent she is, mm-hmm. and he's sort of like, I don't know, like he wasn't even going to apply for an internship. Why not?
He's too cool for school.
He's too cool.
That's his vibe.
I know.
As any good hipster is.
Go hard. Lean in. Lean in, Peter.
I know. And that's where the awkwardness, I think, works for him, right? Mm-hmm. Because he's playing it low key. And that awkwardness is almost like his front. It's almost like his disguise.
Yeah.
And he's intelligent, crafty, agile.
Yeah.
Spider-Man.
But everyone knew that kid in high school who was like, wait, you're like fifth in our class?
Like, what?
You're an idiot.
Yeah.
You know, like how can that be?
There's always that kid.
But you're like low-key a genius.
Mm-hmm. It's the ones that don't feel like they don't have to try.
Yeah.
And they're self-conscious that their super intelligence will set them apart, and they just want to be normal.
Maybe they just don't give a fuck. They just don't give a fuck about school. They're like, this is not the ultimate gauge. I'm going to be fine no matter what because I know I'm smart.
Yeah,
because I'm a genius.
Yeah.
So basically, Peter asks Uncle Ben, like, who's the student, this photo that I found? And Uncle Ben's like, that's Kurt Connors. Him and your dad were really close, but we never saw him after your dad left. Which sends Peter down a more sleuthy path where he impersonates poor Rodrigo.
Oh, Rodrigo really got the shaft.
Exactly. So he shows up to Oscorp and just happens to be the first day of the internship, impersonates Rodrigo, is able to sneak in.
Oscorp has like a legitimate security problem. You can just like roll in there and be like,
okay, Mr. Guevara.
Gracias.
Denata.
She's not great at her job.
No. She seems over it, to be honest.
Yeah, she wants to get fired.
So Peter sneaks into Oscorp and he kind of impresses Dr. Connors by, you know, being able to intelligently read his book and then spit that exact same language back at him about kind of genetically modifying like cross genetic and how that could be used to, you know, like make the world a better place, specifically for Connors, who's missing an arm. Yeah, so it's just near and dear to
his delightful
heart.
Foreshadowing going on. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So Gwen tells Peter, stay close. I'm going to let you stay because I think you cute, but don't get in any trouble. And then Peter goes and gets into trouble.
Yeah, he doesn't get bit.
Goes into the secret lab where there are a bunch
security. Security. Like, quick swipe. It's fine.
That little like swipey thing. All right.
Some really convenient security.
Yeah. I know. Should he have been able to like replicate the swipey that?
But I love it. Low key smart. He can just like remember the swipes.
That's good.
He's a genius.
He'd be a good spy. Shield. Yeah. He goes into the lab with the genetically modified spiders. Mm-hmm. I honestly gag every time I watch the scene when they all fall on him because I can't.
Hate it.
That's like a big nope for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. But also like what's going on in that lab? Is it just like, oh, and now is the time when we screw up all of their webs and we just drop a bunch of spiders?
I don't know.
Like what's going on there?
Did he press a button and something happened that was wrong?
I think it was just on some sort of like drop spider cycle.
They break their webs. I don't know.
He thinks he gets all of them off of him. But one sneaky sucker bites him, and that sets this all in motion. You know, he then falls asleep on the subway. Rookie mistake, Peter. You're supposed to be a New Yorker.
Yeah, you don't do that.
Never fall asleep on the subway.
Also, here's my question, and there are a lot of weird New York inaccuracies. Do they switch in this movie that he lives in Brooklyn? Peter Parker's from Queens, right?
He is from Queens.
But he is on a train, and they say, next stop, Coney Island. So he got on a Brooklyn-bound train.
Yeah. And then they also showed a picture that was, like, obviously Dumbo when they were setting up their house. So
I don't understand. I feel like they switched it. And there's another point, I forget, where it's, like, he's going to Brooklyn and not Queens.
Warvis, where does Peter Parker live in The Amazing Spider-Man?
While Ben and May Parker's home is in the Forest Hill neighborhood of Queens, it is interesting to note that it was filmed in Fuller Place in Brooklyn neighborhood of Windsor Terrace.
Thanks, Warvis.
You did it.
Location scouts need to be better these days.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He falls asleep on the subway.
Yeah.
And logically, some drunk hooligans decide to put a beer bottle on his head. Why would you do that? I don't know. But his spidey senses start tingling. He lays out a kind of you know, very apologetic can of whoop ass. Like every time he does something, he's like, sorry, sorry. He's very confused as to why his hands are sticking to girls' shirts and subway poles.
Yeah.
Make sure you wash them after because that's gross, Peter.
Yeah.
But this is our first, you know, time seeing what his powers are going to be like. Very agile. Like we said, we see more of the parkour later, but very
and very creepy. Physical. It's very creepy too. He's derobing people in the subway, and it's also like this is like a version of the power comeuppance. It's almost like a one big humble brag. He's like, "Oh, I'm sorry for being so powerful and being so agile and being so strong. Sorry, sorry, sorry."
I'm so sorry.
This is where it starts to feel for me because I liked the way the scene looked. I thought it was cool to have him in like close quarters. I just felt like they were building this kind of, like we were saying, a hipster, maybe like too cool for school. Like that's the way in which he's a misfit. And then when he gets weirdly very polite, it feels like, I don't think that's how that guy would react. I think he'd be like, you know, like, you suck or something, like, which he does later.
He leans into it later.
He
does. Sure.
He starts to lean in.
Yeah.
But. And I think that's the biggest difference between the Andrew Garfield Spider-Man and the Tom Holland Spider-Man. It's like the Tom Holland Spider-Man would be like, this is so cool. I can't believe what's happening. Right.
Really
He'd be
cool.
like acknowledging.
Sorry. Cool.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. As opposed to like ripping off women's clothing.
Yeah, that was a weird moment. But
it felt like a miss. It felt like a miss. But OK, moving on.
Peter is very confused as to what's happening to him. He breaks the sink and his doorknob and multiple other things that. Because he's too strong.
She's strong now.
He's too strong now. And he does a little bit more research in his father's papers and Kurt Connor's research and finds, you know, the decay rate algorithm.
Sure. Definitely a thing. But I also love that he kind of passes off his father's work as his own here, where it's almost like he's smart, but he's also wants to appear even smarter than Dr. Connors, which is like kind of a sly little sneaky move there.
He's sneaky, yeah.
A little sneaker.
Peter is sneaky and a little bit punching above his weight in terms of taking his father's research as his own.
He's only number two in the class. He's not number one.
In high school.
In high school.
And yet he's completing very intense algorithms.
Yeah.
So he takes it to Dr. Connors and is like, I have something to show you. One, I completed this algorithm.
Extraordinary. How did you come up with this?
Two, I'm Richard Parker's son. Mm-hmm. And Kurt Connors is like, whoa, this kid's something special.
Yep.
They kind of begin a mentor-mentee relationship that, you know, Peter is excited about. And Dr. Connors is a win-win because it helps him further his research. He's been having a lot of getting a lot of pressure from Oscorp because they're under tight deadline to finish this because Norman Osborn is dying. And so that's why they want to like fast track getting all of this cross genetics brouhaha going.
So this is another element of this movie that in looking back on it, I was like, I really like this component because I feel like in most movies, if Gwen Stacy found out that Peter Parker had basically like taken the relationship with her mentor that she had been working for the past year, she'd be like, how dare you? How could you do this to me?
Yeah.
But she's like totally cool with it. And they don't even bring it up in this movie, which is just like a nice component of their relationship. That's the subtext, right? Is that she sees that they have this relationship and she's like, that's cool. Like you can have that even outside of my relationship with Dr. Connors. Like that's fine.
She's not threatened by it.
She's not threatened. She's a cool chick.
She is. Gwen Stacy's cool. MJ's fine. Gwen Stacy.
Fine.
Number one in her class.
Yeah.
Awkward. Just kind of owns it. Big crush on Peter.
Yeah.
Like, I'm on board.
Yeah.
She's staying true to herself.
She knows what she wants.
Be true to your you.
Yeah.
So we go back to Peter in high school, and this is kind of, you know, you see the full 180 of how we see him in high school at the beginning, and now that he has his powers, you know, Flash is still being a bully, and we get this, you know, iconic basketball scene. This is when he's leaning in. This is when he's upping the snark and kind of, oh
this
I can do
snark.
I can do cool shit. Come on, take it, Flash. Just take it.
Yeah.
Why did you take it from me?
That's right, Flash, take it, man.
Go ahead. Take it.
And, you know, everyone's watching. You know, he tries to muscle him out of it. Trickster, sneaky.
He's borderline douchey in this scene.
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. The snark is taken to another level.
with this.
Yeah.
There are a couple of lines that I wrote down where I was like, this is...
It's close.
This is kind of you being a dick.
Yeah.
And I love how Uncle Ben calls him out on it.
So all this is about getting even. If so, I guess you must feel pretty good about yourself now, right? Am I right or wrong?
That, when he shatters the backboard, mm-hmm. I just was trying to put my mind back to high school and was like, it wouldn't have been like trouble. I think it would have been what happened.
Like, how did you do that?
Yeah.
And like, our facility doesn't have the equipment. Like, this is a safety hazard.
Yeah. That's one thing I feel like in almost every superhero movie, there is fear of being caught. Mm-hmm. And that, I think, is almost, he has none of that, which I think could have been, again, a really interesting theme where he's like, I don't really care if people know, like, this is cool. Like, I can get back at my bullies.
Sweet.
Yeah, he doesn't seem to be worried at all.
Tells Gwen Stacy almost right away.
Yeah. And I think it would have made the ending with Dennis Leary even more impactful if he had been like kind of a show-offy dick the whole time, and Dennis Leary was like, yo, they're going to come after your family, you fool.
Yeah,
and he's like,
you're being an idiot.
Yeah.
Ruh-roh.
Yeah. Oh, cool. Let me get a mask. Like,
this scene was also interesting in that Andrew Garfield does not dribble the basketball.
No.
He just kind of charges forward.
This is traveling big time. You took like 7 steps.
It's
and then flies.
Very awkward.
After some intense traveling,
mm-hmm.
Peter breaks the basketball backboard. He gets in trouble with the principal, and therefore Uncle Ben has to switch his shift at work in order to come pick Peter up and mm-hmm. give him a strong talking to. And because of this, Uncle Ben's like, listen, I just switched my shift at work. You are now responsible for making sure Aunt May gets home safely when she gets done with work.
Mm-hmm.
And Peter's like, yeah, sure, I'll do it. Then he gets distracted mm-hmm. by 3 things. One, a mumblecore conversation mm-hmm. with Gwen where they kind mm-hmm. of sort of agreed to a date. Mm-hmm. Sure.
It's one of the most awkward things I've ever seen.
I think maybe 4 words are actually spoken during that exchange. And besides that, it's just like, I mean, lip tremble, quiver.
Maybe later, yeah.
And it's
another time.
And it's so great just picturing them because they were in romance.
They're dating.
Off screen. They're in romance. And
they were 2 30-year-olds in a serious relationship.
And they have to act like they are like 17 and just getting destroyed over their words.
Yeah.
And then off screen, they're like, yo, like, let's get down.
Yeah.
It's fucking awesome.
They're like, my mom's coming to town this weekend.
Yeah.
Do you want to have dinner? Yeah.
It's like real conversation.
Yeah. Like living life.
Yeah.
It's
like, do we combine finances?
It's a beautiful study in contrast.
Yeah.
And looking back on it is one of the things that I love about this movie is just how painful their conversation is.
It's so painful. I didn't hate it though. I don't know.
Or we could do something else, or we could, if you don't, I mean, like, we could.
Yeah.
Oh, I couldn't. It made me feel so awkward.
Ugh.
The meta aspect made me like
it more.
I almost felt like, especially the way Emma Stone plays this scene, like it almost feels like meta Emma Stone is like toying with Andrew Garfield a little.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Ooh.
But it's so rare that you get 2 people that are both that awkward. Usually it's one and
yes.
the other one's like, just freaking ask
yeah.
me. But she's just as awkward.
She's like, should we?
It's gorgeous.
I know. I'm coming around now, Max, now that you've prefaced it in terms of like, in the real world, there's not one big event and all of a sudden your crush likes you. It's just like, you're cool.
Especially when you're a teenager. Something chemical in me is something chemical.
I don't know what I'm feeling.
Yeah.
Don't know this puberty thing, but I think we're feeling it together.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's puberty together.
Let's puberty.
This is weird, but like, do you want to puberty together after? Okay.
That's basically the conversation they have.
I thought you'd never ask.
Then he has his exciting parkour set to Coldplay, where he kind of plays around in, I don't know, a junkyard.
Comes mm-hmm. into his powers.
Mm-hmm. He comes into his own. He's feeling fresh to death because he's got a date with a lady at an mm-hmm. undisclosed time. And then he also then goes to hang out with his mentor, and they successfully give a rat a new limb.
Yeah.
So he's
coming up,
technically having a great day.
He's mm-hmm. killing it.
I can understand how those 3 things happening would be enough to be like, oh, what, Aunt May? And so he forgets. He mm-hmm. comes home. Uncle Ben is furious. And it's like,
he's not psyched.
She had to walk home alone. These dark Brooklyn / Queens, who knows, streets. you need to apologize.
And I love Aunt May. She's like, I'm an adult. Like, yeah, like I have that.
This was totally another fine. New York thing where he's like, she had to walk 12 blocks. And I was like, okay.
Like, yeah, dude, that's like
even the worst 12 blocks in New York.
Minutes.
I'm like, whatever, you'll be fine.
It's not that bad.
Yeah.
It's totally fine.
And I also love how she was like, I'm a grown-ass woman. Yeah. I've done it before.
But again, this feels like a pulled punch on like, hey, Peter, you're a little bit of a self-absorbed dick.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know?
He is. Yeah.
Yeah. Where it's like, just say it. Be like, you're real selfish lately. Like, it's
not
the
point. Together.
Get it together, Pete.
He gets into a huge fight with Uncle Ben. You know, he's like, you don't know what you're doing. And he's like, you have no right to talk to me like this. You're not my dad. Like, your dad would be so disappointed in you. So it's bringing up that whole, like, you know, mm-hmm. at the core of this, Peter is upset because he feels like his parents did abandon him for reasons he doesn't know. And so he, you know, like any New York high schooler, he goes to the bodega.
Get some milk. Yeah.
Get some chocolate milk.
Well, first he walks fully through a pane of glass.
Where are you going?
Peter, come back here, please.
Oh, right. Leaving the house.
And they're like, oh, he's mad. It's like,
And like, okay, one, you're
livid.
Your
house is expensive.
Your nephew broke a basketball backboard, and then he broke the front door of your home.
Didn't even blink.
You should be more concerned about, you know,
what? Like,
performance enhancing.
Like
what is he doing?
Dude's doing a cycle is what he's doing.
Yeah. He doesn't have enough money to pay for his milk. The bodega man is very aggressive.
Which is like, dude, like not how bodegas operate.
No,
they're like, don't report me for having a cat. Like,
they're so
Take the change.
Yeah. Me and my bodega man are tight.
Yeah, same. They're always like, yeah, it's fine. Just bring me a dollar tomorrow.
Yeah, like I see you every day.
Yeah.
He gets turned away for not having 2 pennies to buy his chocolate milk. A low-level criminal has decided to hold up the bodega man. Peter sees everything, and out of his high school rebellious angst and his just foul overall mood at the turn of events of his previously amazing day, he decides not to do anything about it. And he's just like, no, it's fine. Mm-hmm. The criminal even gives him his chocolate milk, and he's like, I'm on my way. Very similar to the events of the Raimi trilogy, you know, it's, you know,
variations on a theme.
Peter had a chance to do the right thing. He chose not to. Uncle Ben is very righteous. And in the midst of, you know, wrongdoing, he does choose to do the right thing and ends up paying the price. And unfortunately, Uncle Ben gets in a tussle with this low-level criminal, is shot, and then Peter is left to, you know, hold his hand.
We got ourselves an origin story.
Yeah. Exactly. So this is kind of what drives Peter to do more than just parkour with his powers.
Peter parkour. Mm-hmm. And they really danced around the whole with great power comes great responsibility line. Like they basically said it. It was just like, let's get the source out and let's find some synonyms for great. With good things comes better
outcomes.
Taking care of other things.
Yeah. Say it, Uncle Ben.
Yeah, yeah, true. Fun fact, the famous line is never actually said in this movie.
Yeah.
Peter feels a lot of guilt and he goes, you know, on a revenge spree throughout the streets of New York trying to find the guy that he thinks is responsible for Uncle Ben's death. And in the process, one criminal yells, I've seen your face. I can find you. Mm-hmm. And then that's when he's like, oh, I should wear a mask.
Yeah, and I like the one that he starts off with like the sunglasses that are like very 1999.
Yeah.
It's like, dude, they're like a little late.
Yeah, you're behind.
Like 15 years late on this look.
You should have not even been alive.
Yeah, like maybe get some Ray-Bans or something. I don't know. Like, it's just like, it's not a cute look.
That would have been more hipster too. The classic black Ray-Bans. It would have made more sense.
Way better.
Very Vampire Weekend.
Maybe do like a Buddy Holly type of a look. That'd be good.
I'd be down.
Well, we don't see this look for that long because he immediately kind of does some internet research and is like, what?
Goes full seamstress.
Spandex. Pulls out his like screen printer to make his logo.
It's so perfect.
Like very hipster of him to have a screen printer.
Yes. He's a hipster.
He's a silk screener.
He makes it, you know, those home ec classes are really coming in handy. He sews his new spandex costume. He adds the eye thingies. He gets into that, you know, tinkering side of himself where he makes his web shooters, which is, again, another departure from Tobey Maguire, who's webs actually come out of his body.
Yeah.
So I kind of like this one better.
Yeah, this is more accurate to the comics.
Yeah,
it's a little more,
And also, like, the whole, like, biology behind, like, what would be going on with shooting the web out of the...
It's kind of gross to me.
It's not great.
Yeah.
There's a lot of the biology of this movie that even grosses me out. Like, the regenerating of limbs, and when we get to, like, that gross stuff.
The baby hand? The wet baby hand?
Yes! So, yeah. Like, there's some, whoa, Deadpool. Okay.
Yeah. It's very, like, Lynchian horror going on here.
Yeah, it's gross.
Very body
gross.
Horror.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I love it.
So, once he's got his fancy suit, that kind of, like, gives him the snark to the 1,000th degree.
Oh yeah, mm-hmm. He's feeling himself.
And
now,
he's like feeling real good. You know, he's yelling crotch at his enemies before he comes in with like the crotch punches. You know,
I like the hey, I'm swinging here.
Yeah,
like
very
the
New York.
Super New York.
I remember this distinctly because it was in all the trailers, the moment where he's like,
just let me go.
Is that a knife? Is that a real knife?
Yes, it's a real knife.
My weakness, it's small knives.
Just let me go.
Anything but knives!
Funny, it's snarky. Yeah. Again, borderline douchey, which is what I love about the Spider-Man. He can kind of suck.
So while he's feeling himself and going on this spree, he is unsuccessful at finding Uncle Ben's actual killer.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're then taken right back to the romance plot, and Gwen runs into him at school and is like, yo, you want some Branzino at my house? Come hang out. And so he's
really
like,
sure. They really hit the Branzino thing hard.
I don't know why it's such a big deal.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
I didn't know if it was something that I just missed.
I also don't understand how a police captain is living like a king.
That apartment is like
a nice apartment.
$10 million apartment. What are you doing?
Cops don't make that much money.
She has her own room and she has three siblings. I counted at
that table.
Bonkers.
Yeah.
They have a massive roof deck on the 26th floor.
Yeah.
Like, Mrs. Stacy.
I think Mrs. Stacy is bringing
in
the bucks.
It might be Mrs. Stacy.
Holy crap.
She must be like a plastic surgeon at NYU Medical.
Dr. Zizmore.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Dr. Zizmore. Yet another deep cut in New York.
real deep here.
Okay, so this dinner does not go well because Captain Stacy is like,
what do you think we do all day? Think we just sit around eating donuts with our thumbs planted firmly up our asses?
George, Daddy.
Think we
George.
Do down there?
Up your what, Dad?
Howard.
I think he stands for what you stand for, sir. Protecting innocent people from bad guys.
I stand for law and order, son. That's what I stand for, okay? I wear a badge.
I totally get this back and forth. And I understand why Gwen would be reserved to necessarily defend Peter. But I think there is a very clear defense here for why he's reacting the way he is. And I think, you know, people were very sad at school when they found out that Uncle Ben died. And then it's kind of never brought up again. I feel like now would be a perfect time to be like, yo, Dad, his uncle died as a result of a petty criminal.
Yeah.
So maybe if you don't think
back off,
like a carjacker should be off the streets, it directly affected his life. So, like, maybe see his side of it. And that doesn't give away the fact that he's Spider-Man at all. It's just, like, a fact. My friend went through something. You're kind
Slow
of hitting.
Your role.
You're kind of hitting, like, a nerve.
You're really poking each other. Mm-hmm. I mean, I feel like that happens a lot in when they both have good arguments. Like, for a cop to just be like, sometimes, like, taking down petty criminals isn't the full picture, or like maybe there's like a larger sting involved and that person's an informant. You know, like there's a million reasons, but they never say it. It's just like the police are good. No, vigilantes are good. And like that's where the conversation ends. But yeah, it would be so much smarter to be like, he is Ben Parker's nephew. Like, oh, I'm so sorry. Like, like, why doesn't that happen?
I know. It was easy.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Easy.
One of my nitpicks of that scene.
For sure.
But I do like the setup because then it does make their ultimate resolution that much more satisfying.
Yeah, you need that tension,
In
order to, build to a nice resolution.
Yeah, agree.
So moving on, they go out to the balcony. Peter, let's get some air. AKA, let's go make out so my mom can catch us.
Mm-hmm.
As Max said previously, he has no problems with immediately being like, BT dubs, I'm Spider-Man.
They're so awkward. He can't say anything. And then all of a sudden, he like flips a switch into like sexual predator mode.
Yeah. And he tells her to shut up.
It's real quick.
I hated
that line.
Where did that come from?
He's just like, shut up. I'm like, you couldn't say two words a second ago.
Yeah. It's really weird.
And then he's using the sling to
that
like
whole
pull her over.
Yeah.
That whole sequence of stuff is just like.
He goes from 0 to 100 real quick.
It's,
yeah.
And this is immediately followed right by him being like, wait, no, This isn't where they're shirt, where he's like shirtless suddenly.
No, that's,
no,
right, that's much later.
That's after. Okay. That's after.
Sorry.
But that's another moment we'll talk about.
Yeah.
So now they're together, apparently. Peter has to swing away because at this point in the background, Dr. Connors has decided to try the serum on himself after being pressured at work to speed up human trials. And I guess technically it's out of the good of his heart because he doesn't want the veterans to be affected, because that's what his coworker seems to imply. Like, go to a veteran's home, tell them it's a flu shot, and just like see what happens. And I'm like, wow, this is very ethically and morally wrong.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And this is another character that goes from 0 to 100 real quick, where it's like, in one moment, he's just trying to develop this vaccine for this buyer, or like he's trying to heal someone. And then he's like, I'm going to heal myself. And then all of a sudden, you know, he's like, no, I'm going to heal everyone in New York because people are not perfect.
Yeah.
And they all need to be lizard people.
Yeah. That's a
jump. That was fast.
Jump.
It was quick. It was quick. It was quick.
So this is where we have our first like mini showdown between Spider-Man and the lizard on the Williamsburg Bridge. And it's kind of this turning point for Peter, actually, because he has the choice to go after the lizard after he has, like, you know, kind of destructed this bridge. Or we see this father who's yelling, like, my son is stuck in the car, my son is stuck in the car. Mm-hmm. Peter decides to help civilians versus go to the bad guy. He saves this kid, and it's this beautiful, like, you
know.
He's
great with kids.
Yeah, it's this great, you know, it's a nice interaction between him taking off his mask, being like, I'm just a normal guy. You don't need to be afraid of me. Put on the mask. It'll help you, you know, like, be strong. So it's a nice little moment and turning point between where Peter goes from vigilante to, oh, no, I have a responsibility to save people. And he kind of says that to Gwen when he is in that shirtless scene that's
there
after. And he is kind of injured from his escapades, where he says,
because last night, those people on the bridge, whatever was attacking them would have killed them.
It's one of my favorite scenes in the entire movie because he's got his shirt off and he's like in this newfound level of confidence where like he's feeling Gwen Stacy. He goes in for a smooch and she goes,
easy, fuck boy.
But it sounds like she's saying not so fast, fuck boy.
Yes.
Like, it is like, oh, I was like, yeah. I was like, what did she just say?
Did she coin the term fuck boy?
Where did this come from? And, and that one scene just interpreted as not so fast, fuck boy. Makes me like really love this movie, and it really makes me wish that they had that was written into the script because it's just such a perfect line.
It's exactly not what's so going on.
Like, I don't think the term fuckboy was
coined
then.
Used.
I don't
know.
I don't know if it was big in 2012. Mm.
I feel like that's a Twitter.
That's perfect.
Like, I don't know. I associate with Twitter. I in this scene, maybe this makes me a sicko, but I was like, oh, neither of these people are virgins. Like, what? He's just like, here's my fucking body, and like,
take me.
And she's like, wait. I was like, oh, okay. These are two experienced teens. Like, whoa.
These are two people that have had sex when the camera is not filming. Oh, yes, actually. These are two people that have had sex when the camera is not filming.
And it shows. Weird.
Strange. Bodies. Weird. Ew. What?
Bathroom break.
So Peter has an inkling that he's like, I think Connors is behind this lizard dude. So he goes to the Oscorp, and Connors has reverted back to his human form, temporarily at least. And he's kind of like, you know, I want to find what a reptile's like. Tell me about, like, why are you so interested in the cold-blooded, et cetera, et cetera. And then Peter sees that the previous mouse that they had helped has gone, like, full Hulk.
Super evil now.
It's a super evil mouse eating all the other mice, and he's like, oh, fuck. Connors is the dude. He tries to warn Captain Stacy and is like, I know who it is. You guys gotta help. Like, props to Peter for trying to do the right thing and involve the police. Maybe part of what Captain Stacy said at dinner kind of stuck with him, and he was like, you guys do know what you're doing more than I do, so maybe if you guys can catch him before anything bad happens. And they're just like, nah, this guy's kind of crazy. We're not gonna listen to you, Peter.
Bye, Peter.
Bye, Peter. So Peter hatches his own plan, and he's like, I'm going to go into the sewers and try to, you know, catch, you know, him in the act about, like, this lizard guy. They get into a fight in the sewers, and this is how Lizard / Dr. Connors figures out that Peter Parker is Spider-Man, because he leaves his camera behind, which clearly says property of Peter Parker.
Yeah. much for the stealth.
It's really sloppy.
Yeah. I mean, I like his little web thing that he creates with the like vibrations really in the sewer.
It's an awesome underwater fight, too. It looked, still looked really, really good.
Cool.
Seven years later. So I dug it.
7 years later.
Yeah.
Got a caveat. Seven years later. Holding up. Dr. Connors is like, I need to give myself a double dose of this. I like the power of like being so strong and like having this amazingness. And this is when he has the like kind of switch over to between like, I don't want to cure myself. I want to better myself. Like I'm a better version of a human because I'm a lizard now.
Mm-hmm.
So he goes and he's like, Spider-Man's not going to stop me from my master plan. So he tracks Peter to the school and they have this epic fight.
Another sweet fight.
Yeah. And it's held up really well.
Really awesome.
Yeah.
This is a great fight. I think it's a great showcase of how a lizard and a spider would actually fight. Mm-hmm. Like there's a lot of the lizard using his tail and his claws, a lot of, you know, Peter, you know, using his webs to contain him.
Yeah, I love the scene of Peter kind of like wrapping himself around him and just covering him in web. It was very arachnid and spider-like, which we don't see a lot of. It was super sweet. Also, maybe the best cameo for Stan Lee in any Marvel movie.
I thought the same
movie.
Thing. It was a great Stan Lee cameo.
It's so good. It's perfect, elegant, short and sweet.
Yep.
Exactly what a Stan Lee cameo should be.
Yeah, a nice little break in the action, too. You go from like very high to like, oh, funny subdued moment, and then right back into the action.
Loved it.
Which was great. So they have this fight. And he throws Gwen outside out of a window when she tries to help with a trophy. Questionable choices, though, Gwen. That obviously wasn't going to do anything.
Very helpful.
And so at this point is when Peter's like, okay, I was in his sewer lair. I know his master plan. Gwen, you're smart and worked at Oscorp. Go make an antidote. And she's like, I can do that.
She, to be fair, she does just go to Oscorp and press antidote, please.
It's and it's like, just like an easy bake oven. We'll be ready in 8 minutes.
It's awesome. Gwen,
could you do that for any disease?
It's so great.
Make antidotes.
She just sciences so hard there.
Yeah.
It's really well done.
Gwen sciences and she creates the antidote.
Antidote.
It's just
perfection.
Peter is outed by Captain Stacy. The police force has captured him, even though he's trying to help. And he wins Captain Stacy over. And he's like, Gwen is in trouble. The whole city's in trouble. Yeah. I know that you know I'm the only person that can stop him.
Yeah, we're doing it for Gwen. We're on the same team.
Exactly.
Here.
We both love the same woman in different ways.
Yeah.
Fingers
crossed.
Yeesh.
And so I like this moment. It's great because it's kind of like the city of New York, like, you know, comes together to help Spider-Man. He's injured.
Oh, yeah.
He doesn't think he can swing all the way from like wherever he is in like the 40s, I'm assuming, and get up to above 50th.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't have enough like things to swing off of.
Yeah.
Buildings. Okay. But
the crane
crews and all of New York is like, hey, let's give Spider-Man a path to stop this lizard.
Yeah.
All tower cranes on 6. Swing your jib arms over the avenue. Boom angles at 90 degrees. Spider-Man needs those pick points high and lined up. Let's give him a clear approach. Over.
This is one of the things that I always loved so much about the Spider-Verse, which is just how fickle the public is with Spider-Man. And it's like in one moment, they're like, we love Spider-Man. He's our friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. And the next one, it's like, bring Spider-Man in. He is wanted for multiple murders.
Yeah.
APB. He needs to be arrested.
He's a man of the people.
It's a flip-flop.
The crane operators union loves him.
Fair weather friends.
The bourgeoisie, not so much.
Well, due to the help of his fair weather friends, he makes it to Oscorp Tower. The lizard is there, and he is about to basically make this serum airborne.
Yeah. It also, again, like they foreshadowed the deployment device in like one of the first scenes.
Yeah.
They're talking about like, imagine curing everyone within like a, you know, 5 mile radius. And it's like, nah, dude, that is a weapon to spread airborne diseases.
Yeah, it's
like,
insane.
What are you talking about? Like these people, like they don't see the good in it. Like there's no good
there's
in
no
this.
Good
yeah.
in
there's
You're
no good.
A private company.
You want a vaccine? Like go to the doctor.
Exactly.
Go to your primary care.
Can you imagine
it's
if
ridiculous.
Like Deutsche Bank was like, we just want to put a thing on our roof that can disperse chemical agents to the entire city. Like, we wouldn't even let Amazon come here. Like, are you kidding me? We're not letting Oscorp.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
But anyway, its true purpose is revealed
and
he's turning everyone into lizard people.
Yeah.
there is an epic fight on the roof. He is almost defeated. You know, poor Peter Parker, you know, no parents, no uncle, nobody. Captain Stacy comes to save the day, and he's like, he's not alone. He has me. With the power of liquid nitrogen and a very big-looking gun that Captain Stacy didn't come to play around.
It feels like they took a lot from Terminator 2 here, where it's like you got liquid nitrogen and the shotgun.
Yeah,
the combo. Like
shooting off limbs that regrow.
Mm-hmm.
It's suspect.
Now that you say it, it's very true.
Oh, my.
It's just a straight-up copy. But anyway.
In the end, Peter is able to, at the literal last second, switch out the antidote in place of the serum. Mm-hmm. So dispersing around the city, the people that were previously being lizards go back to normal. Dr. Connors goes back to normal. And it seems as if with the antidote comes sane body and mind all of a sudden, because then he's like, oh no, saves Peter from falling off the side of the building. And then his next words are, the captain, as in like, oh, I remembered I stabbed that dude earlier.
Yeah.
I regret it now. So I'm like, I don't know, was the serum making him crazy? Is that why he went zero to 100?
It wasn't clear, I don't think.
Yeah, but also when you press a button for antidote, you get a perfect antidote. And that thing cures everything. So he's just back to baseline.
He's back to normal.
I feel like he's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Science, that's how it works.
Yeah.
It seems like he expresses remorse. Unfortunately, Captain Stacy is not going to make it, and his last dying wish is stay away from my daughter.
Please, just don't fuck my daughter.
Please stay away from her. You will have enemies.
It's fine if you have already.
Just not anymore. From now on.
Starting right now.
Please.
So the city is thankful to Spider-Man for saving the day, and Peter is really struggling being able to hold up his end of the bargain in terms of staying away from Gwen.
It's like 2 days.
Yeah, max. It's just long enough that he doesn't have to go to the funeral.
It's a rainy 2 days. It's been raining a lot.
It's and, a rainy 2 days.
Gwen confronts him and is like, he made you promise, didn't he?
Yeah.
And Peter's like, yeah. And she's upset. And then, you know, after an encouraging pep talk from Aunt May saying that, if someone doesn't think you're good enough, have them talk to me.
Yeah, but Aunt May is also like, yo, she was hot. Why didn't you ask her out?
Yeah.
Like, that was, what about a human connection?
Yeah.
What if they were just not each other's types?
None of the choices in the end.
What if I think her eyes are too big?
It's
yeah.
But in the end, Peter says, fuck it. And as he's coming in late for class, his teacher is like, Peter, don't make promises you can't keep. And under his breath to Gwen, he goes,
don't make promises you can't keep, Mr. Parker.
Yeah, but those are the best kind.
So sultry. Yeah,
yeah. And she smirks, and she knows that means that they now have permission to get it on. And
it's still like, you didn't come to my father's
funeral. I mean, that's a big red flag in a relationship, TBH.
Yeah. Like, we didn't have to make out at the funeral.
It's terrible.
He didn't say, don't go to my funeral. He said, don't
date my daughter. Yeah, don't
you
not be her friend and support
still
her
been supportive.
In a very emotional time.
But he's just like, as long as I lose my virginity before prom, like, we're all good.
I'm on a very tight timeline here, Gwen.
before Spider-Man Homecoming.
Not go to college virgin. Cannot do that.
Oh, no.
And that's where the movie ends. We have a strange mid-credits scene that doesn't really pay off at any other time.
Yeah, it's, I don't know, a dude in like a fedora in, again,
in prison.
Very hipstery in prison, but
yeah.
It's cool.
And that is The Amazing Spider-Man.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Guys, what are your favorite moments?
Really, just any conversation between Gwen and Peter is just sheer perfection.
But maybe
Yeah, just, you know.
Some other
time. All right.
Okay. Bye. All right.
And if you can watch this movie without cringing, you have a heart of stone, to be honest. And looking back on it, I was like, what is this dialogue? But it really feels like a perfect time capsule into this era, like early 2010s, of this like mumblecore awkwardness, hipsterism that was applied. They applied it to a superhero movie, which is just so bonkers, nuts, crazy. And looking back on it, I'm like, that took balls, and I applaud that. So I'm on board.
I think I love on the balcony when he uses, not this part, but when he uses his web, Emma Stone / Gwen Stacy is the first person to have the appropriate reaction. He's shattered a backboard. He's walked through a pane of glass. He's done a lot of insane stuff. And she's the first person to be like, what was that? Like, the first person.
Appropriate response.
Yeah.
I would think my favorite line is when he's stopping the car burglar. Peak snark.
It's poetry.
And it's hilarious. I laughed out loud. And then I would say, I think my favorite scene is, you know, I like the cheesiness of New York, all of the cranes, like, helping him get across. I think that's a real come together moment. There's even, you know, when the guy's walking to the crane, like, there's a nice American flag in the shot right behind him. It's so America.
It's perfect.
It's so cheesy, but it's good.
Can I add one? I love when he gets, I think it's Connors gets in a cab and is like, take me across the river. And the cab driver's like, okay. It's like, well, there's two rivers. Which fucking
one?
River?
Oh, and like, then he asked for clarification another way. He was like, do you want me to take the tunnel or the bridge? And he goes, the bridge. Like, I mean, you still need to know which
there's
river.
There's a thousand bridges.
You still need to know.
Also, he knows the dude is tweaking, but he's like, it's fine.
He's like, you're tweaking?
You're a white middle-aged man.
Yeah.
We're going wherever you want.
What city cab drivers have to deal with.
Also, quick shout-outs to Flash, who in like the blink of like two scenes is just like, yo, Peter, we're buddies now.
In a flash, one might say.
In a flash.
Jeez, Jackie.
He went to therapy off-screen.
I am bowing. You can't see it.
He took some therapy, you know, he started getting in touch with his feelings and decided that his anger was misplaced at Peter.
Love it.
Perfect. And now they're friends. In terms of a Spider-Man timeline, this is the beginning of a new timeline, so it doesn't really have to
start over.
Make sense with anything else. This is a reboot in every sense of the word.
Sure.
Warvis, let us know where the Amazing Spider-Man lands in our Sci-Fi Wire staff's officially unofficial ranking of the Spider-Man movies.
In Sci-Fi Wire's official unofficial rankings of the Spider-Verse movies, The Amazing Spider-Man ranks number 5 out of 7, just ahead of Amazing Spider-Man 2 and just behind the OG Spider-Man.
Number 5.
Yeah, no, that sounds right. Because, I mean, what's below this? Probably Spider-Man 3 and Amazing 2. So, like, I see that. But there are elements of this movie that I find ultimately very, very redeeming. And is it an amazing movie? Maybe not.
It's the all right Spider-Man.
It's definitely the all right Spider-Man.
The almost there Spider-Man.
The A-OK.
One redeeming quality I took from this is I feel like the PS4 game weirdly drew a lot on this movie.
Particularly with like the POV stuff.
We didn't
even talk about that. I thought it was very disorienting, but that's just me.
Yeah. I think it's disorienting too, but I think in a video game, yeah. And I think the final battle, there's a lot of just like images that kind of look, I don't know. I'm sure it's drawing, they're all just drawing from the comics, but I don't know. It looks similar to me.
Cool.
And that is our podcast. Guys, make sure you rate, review, and subscribe. Join us tomorrow when we unpack The Amazing Spider-Man 2. More Andrew, more Emma, more Mumblecore, most likely.
A lot of Jamie Foxx, too.
And blue Jamie Foxx. He's blue in that one,
he's
right?
Super blue.
All right, guys. Thanks for catching up with us.
Blueberry Jamie Foxx.
Tune in tomorrow. Max, Jackie.
Willy Wonka.
It's been an honor and a pleasure.
Oh, no.
Oh my gosh.
Goodbye.
And that's enough.